Let's go ahead and let's begin with the message. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. So we want to turn to the book of Acts for the message this evening. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 is where we want to turn for the preaching of God's word this evening. And as you know, we have entered into a new year. I was really hoping that last or a week and a half ago on the first Sunday of the new year that I'd be able to be with you and preach to you regarding our theme for the new year. I appreciate Brother Pritchett being willing to fill in for that, and he shared the different events that we have coming up this year with you, and I'm thankful that he was able to do that and did a good job. But I was hoping to preach a message around this topic to you at that point, but the Lord had other plans. So tonight I want to share it with you, and it's regarding our theme for the year. And of course, our theme for this year is back to the basics, being the idea of that it's good for us every once in a while to remember the important things. Somebody that I follow and watch videos from talked about a book that I wouldn't necessarily recommend to everyone. It's a secular book. It's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but it's a worldly perspective. But the title of the book is Essentialism. It's the idea that in business, it's important to get back to what is the essential thing that you are called to do, quote unquote, as a business. Well, the church of God is not a business, but we are a body of believers, and we do have a core mission that Jesus gave us. And so it's good for us to get back to the essential things, to remember, why are we doing this? What does God really want us to do? Because a church can very easily become a social club with activities, and the pastor be an activities director. And all the things that we do just become activities that meet the needs of the people, but of course that's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to be a church body to bring glory and honor to his name. Well, how can we do that? What are those essential things? Well, Acts chapter 2 helps us with that question. Verse 42 is where we want to turn to this evening. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The Bible tells us there, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There in that chapter 2 of Acts, as the church began its new phase of ministry with the coming of the Spirit of God at the beginning, as the chapter closes, we can see once the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, what did that early church do? What was their life like? What was their daily activity like? Well, those verses tell us that they continued steadfastly in a few things, and I think those things that they continued steadfastly in match up real well with the four areas that I want us to focus on this year as we go back to basics. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into this message here this evening. Father, I do thank you very much for what you've given us tonight, Lord, this wonderful opportunity to meet together as a church family. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to be here and, Lord, to be able to preach to your people. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you would use your word to speak to us. Lord, this year, we want to get back to the basics, not just so that we can have a theme, but Lord, rather, so that we can be the church that you want us to be, so that we can remember what things are essential, what things are important, what are the things that we should focus on as a church. Would you help us to do that, I pray. Now, dear Lord, I also ask for Brother Cattell's. Lord, would you, in a miraculous way, allow that appointment that he has would be able to get done quickly, that he might be here with us, and Lord, that we might do the things that we had planned this evening. I pray that you'd work those details out. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we look at the four areas that as a church we want to focus on, you might remember that the first one, or one of the four, in the if you've seen the slide that I made up for our announcements, one of the four areas is Bible reading. That Bible reading is something that we as a church ought to remember is essential, not just for us as a church, so that when we come together, the Word of God is part of the services, although that's true. Shame on us if we ever get away from the Word of God being the center part of our services. But not only for us as a corporate body, but for us as individuals, listen, that should be a daily practice for us. And if we're not in that practice, let me encourage you that this year, let's make that a priority. Let's get back to basics. It's great to call yourself a Christian. It's great to sing in the choir or sing special music or play the piano or serve in junior church or teach a Sunday school class, and we can list 100 different ministries that you might be involved in. It's wonderful to do those things, but wait a minute. If you're not, first of all, reading the Word of God on a daily basis, then your priorities are wrong. Then you need to get back to the basics and remember that's where you should start, okay? And that's what the apostles were doing here. And let me show you that in the Word of God, Acts 2:42, where it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, the apostles' doctrine, what was that? Well, remember, in Acts chapter 2, they didn't have a completed Bible. They had the Old Testament scriptures. That's wonderful and that's great. But how that applied to a New Testament life, the only way they knew that was with the apostles' doctrine. So they got together and the apostles talked to them about the things that Jesus taught them. The apostles talked to them about, here are the things that Jesus said to us right before his crucifixion, right after his resurrection. Here are the things that he said that the prophets were saying about him, et cetera, et cetera. You and I now have that same apostles' doctrine in the form of the New Testament scriptures. We have it in written form. They had it in verbal form. But notice that right away, as that church began, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And let me point out to you that there is another word in there that describes how they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and that was that they continued steadfastly. What does that mean, steadfastly? That means that it was continuous. It was something that was a priority. It was something that they would not let go. It was something that they did on and on and on. And friends, that's the way it ought to be for you and me with our Bible reading. And I want to encourage you to get into that. Now, in the bulletin this year, we have a Bible reading schedule there. Now, it is one that's a little bit aggressive. There are 10 chapters every day to read. A lot of it will be, we'll read through different sections of Scripture, maybe one or one and a half times a year. Other parts, like Psalms and Proverbs and even the book of Job, we'll read through several times in the year. But listen, you may not follow that plan, but follow another plan. But I would encourage you, if you're able, if most of us have the time to read those 10 chapters, follow with me on that plan and get into the Word of God daily and make it a part of your life. Let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Psalm 119, you're going to want to keep your place in Acts chapter number 2. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we want to look at verse 105. Notice what the Word of God tells us about itself. Of course, Psalm 119 is a psalm that's all about God's Word, isn't it? Verse 105 of Psalm 119 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The idea being that your word not only lights every footstep I'm going to take, but also it lights my entire path. That's what it's saying. And the Word of God is our light. Friends, we need the Word of God because in the world that we live in, especially with the information age that we're living in right now, right, where we have basically all the information we can ever use right here in our pockets. I know if you're anything like my family, we'll be sitting, we'll be talking about something, we'll have a question about something, and when we don't know the answer, we just say, well, we're going to ask Google. Or for some of you who are, you know, spoiled brats, you say, I'll ask Siri, right? Those of you who are snobs, right? You know, you use Apple. You know what I'm talking about, right? For those of us regular lowly folk, we use Google, okay? But we ask Google, what is it? What is this information? And I can find out just about anything like that. We live in that information age. That's a wonderful privilege, but here's the danger. And I see it in my life. I see it in other Christians' lives as well. The danger is that I begin to think based on the wisdom of this world rather than think biblically. I need the Word of God to be the light to my feet and the light to my path, right? I need it to shine my every step and my path. Well, I can't do that if I'm not in the Word of God daily. And friends, if you're not in the Word of God daily, I don't want to be mean to you in any way, but I would just tell you, I can almost guarantee you, you live your life with the wisdom of the world. If you're not in the Word of God daily, then it's almost a guarantee you live your life with the wisdom of the world. And that's not a slight to you. I don't say that to embarrass you or anything like that. I just want to challenge you that, listen, it's a challenge to live biblically when you're in the Word of God daily. When you're not in the Word of God daily, I dare say it's well nigh impossible. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of thy words giveth light. We need God's word to give us light in this wicked world. We don't have the time to look at the next passage of Scripture, but if you're following the Scripture reading plan with me, you would have read Proverbs 11 this morning. I read it, and one of the verses that stood out to me is verse 14 of Proverbs 11, where it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Boy, that's true, isn't it? We need counselors. We need to get advice. But here's something my dad, I remember, used to point out to me all the time. He'd say, in the Psalms, the psalmist said, thy words are my counselors. Or I don't know if he said thy words, but thy precepts or something like that are my counselors. In other words, the law of God is my counselor. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I need to be in the book. We need to get back to that this year, making the Word of God and the reading of His Word a priority. Let's go to the next area that we want to focus on this year. We're going to have to be quick with them. But the second one is fellowship. If we look at Acts chapter 2, we can see that that's what the early church did. As they began the early church, notice it says in verse 42 of Acts 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. So fellowship, both the word fellowship as well as the term breaking of bread, signifies that to the early church, it was essential that they spend time together. And that's something I want all of us to understand here in the church this evening. It is essential what we're doing tonight. This is not an option. This is not something that we can take lightly and just, you know, from time to time do it or maybe do it or not do it. If we're going to be the Christians that we ought to be, we need to get back to the basics and we need to remember that fellowship is important. And the fellowship around God's Word, not just getting together to watch the Packers lose. Okay? That's not fellowship. Getting together and just talking about the weather, that's not fellowship. Getting together and edifying one another about the Word of God and bearing each other's burdens and encouraging one another, that's fellowship. That's what the early church did, and they did it steadfastly. And we ought to do that, listen, because we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We do not belong to this world. Therefore, we need a place where we belong. And the local church is a place where you belong and where you belong to God's people. Now, some of us are blessed in this fact that we have family that are believers that are like-minded like us. Okay? I have that blessing. Number one, I obviously have my wife and my children. That's a great blessing. We have a wonderful camaraderie at home and all of that. Beyond my wife and my children, I have my siblings, and for the most part, we are on the same page with most things, and we love God, and we love His Word, and we talk about godly things when we get together, and that's a blessing, and I have, you know, other family members as well and other friends, but listen, there is nothing that can replace what we do here. Nothing. The fellowship that I have with my family is good, and that's a blessing. By the way, not everybody here has that. And when we talk about fellowship, it's not just that I need to get the fellowship that I need, but I need to be available for fellowship where others need it. Because there are some who don't have a wife and kids that they can fellowship with and have that camaraderie with, and siblings, and et cetera. And so listen, how selfish would it be of me to say, well, I don't need it. I do fine with church once a week. I do fine with church every once in a while when something else isn't going on. I do fine. I don't have to stick around after the service and fellowship and encourage people because I don't need it. I've heard the word of God and I can go my way and I'm fine. That's fine, but let me just encourage you, that's selfish. Because we don't do this just for ourselves, we do this for one another. And we need one another, we need that fellowship. And when we talk about getting back to basics, one of the basics that we need to get back to is to remembering, why do we do this? We do this because we're iron sharpening iron, that I need you, you need me, and we need one another, and we bring honor and glory to Christ when we fellowship together. And because when we love Christ, we will love his body. And the body of Christ is the local church. And so I can't say that I love Christ if I don't love his body. We've talked about Bible reading. We've talked about fellowship. Let's look again in Acts chapter 2, and let's see that there was another thing that they continued steadfastly in. The end of verse 42 ends with three words. It says, and in, and what's that last word? Prayers. There's another area that we need to focus on, that we need to get back to basics on, that we need to remember that one of the essential things that we do as a church is pray. Now, we as a church, I'm thankful for the fact that we have lots of different activities. We have, activities for young couples. We have activities for teens. We have activities for others. And we try to reach out to our community. And our adult Christmas party this last year was a hit, wasn't it? Just a great time and a blessing. I still can't believe that took place in this auditorium. What a change was made, right, by the decorating crew. And they did a great job. It was beautiful. But listen, those things, teen activities, young adult activities, Christmas parties, those aren't essential. If we never had another one of those, the church could go on. But if we ever lose the understanding that prayer is essential, the church will cease to exist. The church does have to have prayer. That is an essential part. And when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not just talking about platitudes and saying grace over our meals, which isn't bad to do, but you understand what I'm talking about. Not just God bless the missionaries and then we go our way. I'm talking about earnest, true, fervent prayer. The church needs that. That's what the early church did. They continued steadfastly in prayers. The Bible tells us in Acts 1 and verse 14 that was one of the first things the church did. They gathered together in that upper room and they prayed together. How important that time of prayer is. And we need to make that an essential part. I wish I had more time, but let me say this about prayer. We need to get back to prayer because prayer shows that we are dependent upon God. When we don't pray, here's what we're showing. We're showing that we think we're self-sufficient. And I'm guilty. I suspect that many of you are with me on that many times we think we can get by okay without it. And we might pray a little bit of a prayer. We give a little bit of a, just kind of cursory prayer over something. But I'm talking about real, earnest, fervent prayer shows that, God, we are dependent upon you. We cannot do this without you. In Madison Baptist Church, I want you to understand that we cannot exist as a church without fervent and true prayer. If we ever lose that, then there's a good chance. Listen, the church will cease to exist. It will fall apart. We need God for this to exist. And also, because we pray, because we believe God can do great things. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church forever. Right? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but then there's more than that. By praying, we're showing that we believe that God will do great things. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we pray, we're showing God that we believe that he really will hear our prayers. And I'm afraid sometimes we think that he won't, and so we don't pray. Let me give you one more, and that's from Acts chapter 2 again. Look at Acts chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, at verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's not as obvious in that, but it's included in that, that it was essential to the church that they were witnessing. That early church was daily in the temple. Well, what were they doing in the temple? They were certainly praying. They were certainly offering the sacrifices. They were certainly participating in the worship of the temple. But friends, we know from other parts of the book of Acts that they were also witnessing while they were there. They were testifying that Jesus is the Christ. They were disputing with people from time to time in the temple and in the synagogues. And as they went there, they shared who Jesus was. In fact, it even says at the end of the chapter, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, he couldn't have done that if they weren't at least testifying as to who Jesus was. And friends, that's one of the essential things that we as a church ought to do, is we ought to be about witnessing. Now, let me encourage you with this fact. Please put out of your mind the feeling like if we're going to be a true church, then we have to be, you know, charismatic salesmen about the gospel. No. I'm not calling on you, nor is God, more importantly, calling on you to be a charismatic salesperson. I'm not calling on you to slick your hair back if you have hair, like me and Mark, right? I'm not calling on you to do that and dress in a cheap suit and try to talk people into praying a prayer so that you can put another notch on your Bible gun. No, that's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about, as Christians, we ought to speak up for Christ. We ought to be just like they were. Listen, they weren't trying to be salespeople for Jesus. They just told people who Jesus was. Listen, all you had to do was get the facts out. I remember we had a man in our church years ago. He was my Sunday school teacher when I was growing up, Brother Gary Goodrow, and many of you remember him. Brother Goodrow worked for a while for Zimbrick. And I remember that he was excited when they allowed him to be a salesperson at their Honda dealership on the west side. And I remember talking to him about that. I was a teenager, a little bit into cars at that time. And he said, I love being a Honda salesman. He said, because I don't have to say anything special about the cars sell themselves. You just tell people the reality of what a Honda is, and they'll want to buy it. Those were his words now. I'm not getting paid by Honda to say that, all right? But you understand what I'm saying. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to bring Jesus down to the level of a vehicle. I don't want to diminish him. But isn't it much more that way with Jesus? I don't have to sell him to anybody. I just have to tell people who he is. Let the chips fall where they may, but my job is to be zealous for Jesus and tell people what great things God has done for me and let him sell himself, and he does a great job of it. And when I understand that and when I'm passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, that's exactly what'll happen. When I get back to the basics, I'll be all about telling people all who Jesus is and letting Jesus be the salesperson. So friends, in this year, I believe that God wants us to get back to the basics, and specifically those four areas, that all of us be fervent in our Bible reading and passionate about that every day, that all of us be fervent in fellowship, understanding that what we do here is important, that this is essential. That we would understand as well that prayer should be a major part of our life personally and corporately, and that witnessing for Jesus, telling others about Christ, is essential in our life. And I think that if we do, God will give us just a great year where his name will be glorified and honored in a way like never before. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We'll take an offering.